Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influencers Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influencers.church. And now for our message.
I want to talk to you this morning around the topic of faith. And I realize, you know, if you've been living for a while, you appreciate that life has a way of throwing some curveballs into our life and putting us in positions that we never expected to be in. And sometimes when you get into those positions, the issues of life can tend to dominate your thoughts and even dominate your faith. But I want to be the type of person where not the issues of life dominate my faith, but where my faith dominates the issues of life. Where I walk around knowing and believing that my God is able, that He has the final say. It's not that report, it's not that person's opinion, it's not that natural circumstance, but it's God. He has the final say. No matter what your circumstance might look like, no matter how impossible it may seem, I'm thankful that our God specializes in impossibility. And so there's nothing that's too hard for God. There's not things that are easy and things that are difficult. Everything is easy for God because He's all powerful. He's all wonderful. And I want to stir your heart again. I feel that there's been some of you that have been in seasons where you were full of faith, where you dreamed big dreams, where you believe in God for amazing things. But as life has got busy and things have happened, that faith has waned a little bit. I felt there's been some of you that you've been praying and seeking God for something in the past and it didn't come about and it sort of rocked your faith a little bit. And there's others that they're expecting God for something and God's saying, come on, keep stirring up that faith. He said, I want you to stir up your faith again, Paradise. I want you to stir it up again, because I want you to remember, this is what this house is built upon. It was built upon my miraculous power. It was built upon those moves of Smith Wigglesworth and Amy Semple McPherson, that we go back 100 years. This is not a new church. God has birthed this out of a Pentecostal revival, out of my power, out of my signs and my wonders. And God's saying, I want you to stir up that faith again in me, believing that I am who I said that I am, and I can do what I said that I can do. And I just feel God just stirring our hearts again. And I know the Bible tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means, and I love this, that all the wonderful miracles and stories that we read about in His Word are not just there to entertain us. They're not just there to be in awe of, but they're there to say, this is the God that you serve. I am the same God. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever I did back then, you can expect me to do and even more today. And so I want to encourage you. I don't know what you came expecting this morning, but I want to encourage you now to believe God that He can move in whatever situation you have. And I, as I said, we're going to give a moment, we're going to pray, but I just want to stir your faith today. Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's an interesting verse. You could potentially read it and feel challenged by it. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You might even, at times, I've said to myself, oh man, I haven't been walking in the same faith I used to. Is that displeasing to God? But I've come to look at this verse in a different way. I've come to be extremely encouraged by this verse. And the reason I'm encouraged by it is because if you can say without faith, it's impossible to please God, equally we can say then when we exercise faith, it pleases Him. And what that tells me is that whenever I bring my issues to God, whenever I come to Him and say, God, I need You to move in this moment. God, I don't know what to do, but I'm trusting You. Whenever we bring those things that are overcoming us to Him, it pleases Him. You know why? Because to do that requires faith, doesn't it? And every time we put our faith in Him, He finds joy in that. It pleases Him. Oh, I love this. You know, because, you know, when people dump their problems on us, we don't tend to like it that much. But God loves it. He's like, come, dump your issues on me. Come to me, trust and believe me. Bring that thing to me, because I love it when you show that type of faith in me. I don't know what you need today. Maybe you need a miracle. Maybe you need an answer to prayer. Maybe you need some direction. Maybe you need some clarity. Maybe you need some provision. Whatever it is today, that you can encounter it in the presence of God. I want to tell you, anything is possible in the presence of God. As you sit here right now in the presence of God, anything is possible. Nothing is off limits. He's all powerful. He's not limited by natural things. Anything is possible in the presence of God. The Bible says that He can do exceedingly, abundantly above all we could ever ask, think, or imagine. It doesn't matter how wild you can conceive a thing, He can outdo it. He can do more than we can think. You might think of the most amazing thing that God can do, and God's like, that's easy for me. I can do over and above that, far over. I can exceed it abundantly beyond. You know, in the Gospels, we read about a time where Jesus came to His hometown, and I've read this story many times where He's come to His hometown, and I'm convinced that He came there with a heart to move mightily with the power of the Holy Spirit. You think, you know, you tend to have a special place in your heart for your hometown. You probably grew up with many of the people that were still there as a young boy and a family, probably shared meals. And they knew about Him. It's pretty clear from the passage of Scripture that they knew who He was and they'd grown up with Him. And I'm sure that He came with His hometown, even with knowing their names personally and their faces on His mind, and perhaps even knowing some of their situations and thinking, I can't wait to get to my hometown and minister to them and touch them. Because now He's full-time in His ministry and the Holy Spirit's moving through Him. But He gets to His hometown, He goes into a synagogue and He begins to teach. And Jesus is an awesome teacher, the greatest teacher that ever was. And yet as He's speaking to His people in His hometown, they don't quite respond perhaps the way He hoped they would. Instead of being excited, instead of being full of anticipation and saying, come on, you got to come to Jesus. You got to allow Him to touch you and heal you and listen to what He's saying. Instead of doing that, the Bible says they rejected Him and they took offense at Him. And here's Jesus come to His hometown to move powerfully, and instead He leaves disappointed, only able to do a few miracles. And I think about that often, and I wonder if maybe the people in the town celebrated, because they're like, wow, He did a couple of miracles, this is amazing, and not realizing the whole time Jesus was bitterly disappointed because of their lack of faith. It really challenges me, because I wonder, and I hope not, but I wonder if there's been some times where I've celebrated, where I've come home from a service going, oh God, You did amazing things today. And He's like, actually, I wanted to do more. He's such an amazing God. So much that He wants to do in and through your life. You know, it's a shame, because their familiarity dishonored His ability. Church, can I encourage you, let's not be familiar in the presence of God. I hope you woke up this morning with something stirring in your heart today. I hope you jumped up out of bed and said, man, I cannot wait to get into the presence of God, because in His presence, I know that anything is possible. But please, let's not have a familiarity that dishonors His ability. But let's have the type of faith, let's have the type of expectation that enables the Holy Spirit to do what He does best, to move powerfully and miraculously. You know, if you go to the Botanical Gardens, you'll find in the Botanical Gardens, there's this big glass dome and it's called a greenhouse. And a few people have been in there, maybe not for a while, but I remember going in there a few years ago, and when I went into this greenhouse, it was full of all these exotic plants and flowers. And what's interesting about that, though, is you go outside of the greenhouse and you won't find those same plants and flowers, right? And the reason for that is because outside the greenhouse, the atmosphere is not conducive to seeing those plants and flowers grow. But inside the greenhouse, it's been specifically set up with the right atmosphere for those plants and flowers to thrive. And I believe just as a greenhouse is to those plants, so is our faith to the Holy Spirit. That when we come with faith and expectation, we create the right atmosphere for Him to do what He does best and to move powerfully and to thrive in our meetings. You know, we see this truth displayed in a woman who had been suffering with hemorrhaging for 12 years. It's a pretty tough story. Here's this woman suffering with this debilitating issue in 12 years. She looks, searches for answers. She spends every single dollar she has. She tries out every natural remedy that is proposed to her. And after 12 years of trying, giving everything she possibly could to find a solution, the Bible tells us that she found none. In fact, she was worse off than before. And then one day, Jesus comes along her path. And the Bible tells us that when she saw Jesus coming, there was this huge crowd of people around Jesus. But as she saw Jesus, something stirred in her heart and said, I think he has the answer I've been seeking. Now, this amazes me about this woman, because for 12 years, she tried everything and just been completely disappointed. But notice that she never gave up. Isn't that amazing? You think, I've spent everything, I've tried everything, nothing's worked, yet in her heart she said, no, I'm not willing to accept this. I'm not going to allow this issue to label my life. I'm not going to accept that this is my lot in life. I know there is something that can help me change this thing. And she kept believing, kept having that faith, kept seeking, and then here comes Jesus. Bible says that she said to herself, I know if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. So this wonderful woman starts pushing through this crowd, getting closer and closer to Jesus, pushing people aside, reaching out to him. And I can see her right getting up close to her on her hands and knees, stretching out through the legs of people and just touching, just brushing the hem of his garment. And all of a sudden, in that moment, 12 years of ostracization, 12 years of pain, 12 years of disappointment in that moment are gone as the power, healing power of God comes out of Jesus and instantly into her life, and that issue is completely dealt with. She's made completely whole. It's awesome. But here's the thing that I really amazes me about this story. If you read through this account of the story through all the Gospels and you piece it all together, you will actually notice that Jesus actually wasn't coming to her that day. In fact, you actually read through that Jesus had finished teaching and he was about to go off somewhere else. And this actually encourages me, because it says to me that in this particular case, her miracle came about not necessarily because Jesus extended himself towards her, but because she made a decision to extend herself towards Jesus. She made a decision to reach out to Jesus. She made a decision to say, I'm not just going to accept this, but I'm going to reach out and I'm going to trust and believe that Jesus has what I need. I love this so much, because it tells me that when we activate our faith in God, it has the power to pull things down out of heaven into our life. I don't know what you need today, but your faith is the key to pull that thing out of heaven down into your life. I love that she seized the opportunity. She didn't allow the opportunity to pass her by. She could have just sat back and Jesus would have left. Who knows if he ever would have returned, right? You know, there's one thing I notice about people in the Bible is they seize the opportunity, because it's not like it was today. You know, they were seeking Jesus, but Jesus couldn't be everywhere at once. Yet I think we take for granted the privilege we have that we can be in his presence all the time. And so we think, well, if I miss this moment, doesn't matter, because there's going to be another one. But they didn't have that privilege, and they seized that opportunity. And I think sometimes we need to get a little desperate. I think we know how to have a bit of desperation in us. I think we need to honor the presence of God, what Jesus did for us. It was because of Jesus' sacrifice that veil was torn in two, that we are able to come into the presence of God boldly and confidently whenever we like, right? Let's please not take that for granted. Let's please not dishonor what Jesus has done for us. Let us come with an expectation, honoring his presence, seizing the moment. Why can't today be the day of your breakthrough? Why can't today be the day where you are healed? Why can't today be the day where God gives you the answer? Why does it have to be something for you hoping in 6 months, 12 years? Why can't it be today? In his presence is here. She sees the opportunity. You know, the other thing I notice about desperation is that it makes you do things that ordinarily you wouldn't do. You know, she shouldn't have done what she did. back in those times, if you were, had that issue, you were classed as unclean. In other words, you were isolated. You weren't allowed to be around other people because you'd make them unclean too. But then we see her touch people and push through people and touch Jesus, because that's what you do when you're desperate. You tend to not care what other people think. And I think God's saying sometimes we need to be a little bit desperate. We need to be willing to push past some obstacles, push past some barriers, push past some comfort zones, push past some inhibitions. What if your miracle is waiting just outside your inhibition? What if God is just wanting to know if you love Him more than you love other people's opinion of you? Just push through. Push through. In a moment, we're going to have an opportunity to pray, and I'm going to open this up and you can come down here. We'd love to pray for you, and for some of you that might feel a little bit uncomfortable. For some of you to do that, you might be worried what other people think. You know what? Who cares what other people think? And this should really be a safe place. And hopefully nobody thinks anything negative of you at all. I promise you, I'm down here. I need a miracle. I need God to move in my life. I'll respond as much as I can. And when I stop responding, I'm saying to God, well, I've got it. That's crazy. I don't ever have it. All right. So please, push through. Come down. Allow Him to touch you. In Luke chapter 7, I'll finish with this, is there's a story of a centurion who had a sick servant. The Bible tells us that the centurion loved his servant very well, wanted him to be healed. And so he sent some of his men to go and find Jesus. And they asked and said, would you go and find Jesus and ask Him if He'll come and heal my sick servant? And so they find Jesus, and Jesus agrees to come. And He's on His way to the centurion's house to heal his sick servant. As Jesus is coming, all of a sudden the centurion has this thought. He's like, hang on. Actually, Jesus doesn't need to come. He has all authority over all things. He could just speak the word and it'll be done. And he's like going to himself, hang on, I'm a person in authority. I get this. I say to this person, go, and they go. This person, come, and they come. And my authority is not like Jesus, but I get authority. And he has this revelation. Jesus, You have authority and power over all. He said, don't even bother coming. Just speak the word and it'll be done. And this is what Jesus does. They send this news to Jesus. He doesn't come, but He speaks the word, and immediately His servant is healed. But look at Jesus' response. In Luke chapter 7, verse 9, it says, Jesus marveled at this. It says, He turned around and said to the crowd who had followed Him, listen, everyone, never have I found even one among the people of God, a man like this who believes so strongly in Me. This word, I put it in capitals because it just leaped out to me, found. It says to me that this was something Jesus was seeking. Or at least it says to me, it was something He was hoping to find. Would there be someone who would believe in Me? Believe that I am who I said I am, and I can do what I said I can do? Can you imagine the joy Jesus would have felt from this man's faith? The pleasure that would have come from his faith. All these people have been rejecting him. The people in his hometown have rejected him. And finally, here's this man who says, Jesus, no, You are who You said You are. You can do what You said You can do. Man, that must have touched Jesus' heart, right? I believe it still touches His heart the same today when we come with that faith. When we come and we go, Jesus, I know it looks one way, but I believe that You are who You said You are. You can do what You said You can do. I believe He finds so much joy, so much pleasure in that. I believe He's like, thank you for believing in Me that way.
We hope that this message has blessed you. For more information about Influencers Church, go to influencers.church.